Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. I think many of us are Southerners here, and when we say good morning and stuff like that, we expect you to speak back to us. Thank you so much. I mean, I have Northern friends who say, you know, I'm suspicious of all that Southern stuff, y'all speaking to each other and all of that, but, you know, that's just pull us all in. Nothing, I don't have anything to disclose. I just want to indicate, though, that as I talk about the Central Florida 2012 Undoing Racism Community Organizing Workshop and Windshield Tour, that it was funded in part by a partnership with the Genesee County, that's Michigan, around the Flint area, REACH U.S. Project, Center of Excellence in the Elimination of Disparities. We were, the state of Florida, selected to be part of the Racial and Ethnic Health Disparities Action Institute out of the CDC, and we were paired with REACH U.S. in Flint, Michigan, and so the dollars flow through the CDC to REACH U.S. down to us in the Tampa area, and we also had to have some other partners, and I'll talk just a little bit. This endeavor was fairly expensive. And so I just want to articulate with you the potential effectiveness of using the Undoing Racism Workshop and the Community Windshield Tour as a way to help reduce infant mortality disparities and promote health equity overall in Central Florida. Let me just say here, Dr. Dixon mentioned that in much of the state of Florida, infant mortality, especially among African Americans, has not decreased. I need to be happy to say that in our area, in the Tampa Bay area, in a cohort of about five zip codes in which my project works, REACH UP, we have been able to reduce the infant mortality rate. When we started off in 1998, the infant mortality rate was 19.4. When we took a look at it in 2010, and we have some exceptional research and evaluation folk at the University of South Florida, Tampa is where I am, it had gone from 19.4 down to 9.6. And it has taken a lot of hard work and a lot of community collaboration, and some of that I'll talk about. But I want to talk with you a little bit about the Florida Health Equity Commission. Dr. Dixon mentioned there's a lot of politics in Florida and in every state around trying to make sure that people are healthy. In 2005, we got a report that the black infant mortality rate in Hillsborough County, which is the county where Tampa sits, was 22.7. Any of you who know about infant mortality, this rate was 4.4 times the white rate, but it's also worse than the rates in a lot of what we would call developing countries. So we had to do something, and as we pulled our community together, there were two women in our community, a senator, a Florida senator and representative, who went to the legislature, and during a time when we had a great deficit, was able to push the legislature into giving $1 million, well, giving right back to the folk who gave it to them, $1 million to take a look at this issue of black infant mortality around the whole state of Florida. That money came down to us in 2007, 2008, and we utilized that money around the state with the areas that had the worst black infant mortality rate. So you're looking at places like Miami-Dade. You're looking at Palm Beach. When people think about Palm Beach, a lot of times they think about all the wealthy, but well, not everybody there is wealthy, and not everybody's doing well. Broward County, that's where Fort Lauderdale is. Then you go up to Duval County, that's where Jacksonville is, and there's a little county up there in the panhandle, that's Gadsden, it's right next to Leon, where Tallahassee and the University of Florida is, just to give you. And then over down beneath Jacksonville, there's a little teeny county that nobody would know about called Putnam, and they really had black infant mortality rate that we need to deal with. So all of these folks came together. But one of the criteria for accepting the money is sustainability. You had to find a way to keep the project going after that year's worth of money was gone. So one of the ways, so we did several things. One is that we wrote the proposal, and we were selected by the CDC to be part of the Racial and Ethnic Health Disparities Action Institute. We call that READY, and that was to provide us with additional tools to help build healthier communities. Also in the state of Florida was the Closing the Gap in Infant Mortality Grant, and those people also came together with us as we wanted to to do something, and we developed something called the Equal Help for All Education Committee. And we morphed that into the Florida Health Equity Commission, which is a Florida nonprofit corporation. And one of the reasons that we did that is because all the other organizations that we talked about were mandated to work with the Florida Office of Minority Health. In that Office of Minority Health, I think between 2007 and 2010, we have a turnover of like five different directors. So it was not stable. We didn't know whether the state was going to continue to really have a commitment to that office. So we say, you know what, we don't want to have to be part of that office. So we developed the Florida Health Equity Commission, Florida Nonprofit Corporation. All of us who work with the commission are volunteers because we have no dollars, just passion and the will to make things work. And here we have the vision and mission of the Florida Health Equity Commission, and we really want to eliminate social and economic barriers to good health in the state of Florida, and we want to do that from, you know, a health equity perspective. So one of the things that I wanted to share here is just one of the reasons that the Florida Health Equity Commission, or EFEC as we called it, wanted to begin to do something around this issue of racism. And one is because, particularly as I'm working in maternal and child health, one of the things that we began to find was that there were a lot of reports of this correlation between perceived racism and poor health outcomes. And so here I just made a list of, you know, some of the research that we've used in the background. In maternal and child health, one of the things that we know is that an African-American woman with a college degree, myself, Dr. Dixon, Dr. Washington down there, soon to be Dr. Brooks, and many of you out there, we are more likely to have a premature, low birth weight baby than a white woman who didn't graduate from high school. And so that's when you begin to know. So some of the research way back with Dr. Collins and those kind of folk, they looked at African women, they looked at immigrants, and, you know, had to take a look at what is this stuff that's going on. And finally got to this notion of looking at the stress that's related to racism and perceived racism. And these are some of the references, and as Dr. Williams said, I will upload some stuff after we leave the conference. Of course, one of the big issues when you begin to talk about racism is the definition. How do we even define it? Well, with the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, Undoing Racism Community Organizing Workshop, one of the first things that happens is that we work to develop a common definition of racism and an understanding of its different forms, as well as developing a common language and analysis for examining racism in the United States. And these are some of the other goals of that work, objectives of that workshop: understanding our connection to institutional racism, the relationship between racism and economics, understanding the historical context, because one of the things that we recognize is in the United States, many of us are very ahistorical people. We don't know what went on before us, and so we don't understand how that impacts who we are now. Understanding racism and how it impacts us in various kinds of ways, and understanding the role of community organizing as a way of undoing racism. Also, part of that is a community windshield tour. And so because the People's Institute limits the number of people in this workshop to 35, What we decided to do was actually extend special invitations to the maternal and child health organizations in Central Florida and our key partners. And one of the things that I wanted to do here is just talk with you about some of the complaints and the concerns in terms of why certain organizations didn't send representatives to the workshop. One, the workshop is 2.5 days, and some people said that was too much time. And then we had difficulty in getting specific demographics. Out of the 32 people who were there, we had one Latino male, we had 5 whites, and out of all of the males, there were only 6. And so even when we got to look at the evaluation that I'll talk more about in a minute, people talked about the need for more diversity, but it indeed was not because of a lack of trying to get those diverse people there. The workshop's specific focus was racism impact on infant mortality. And we had the Reach U.S. team doing an evaluation and the Tampa team doing an evaluation. And with the Tampa team, we actually used coding to assess common themes from after the conference and from participant feedback and organizational representatives, the CEOs. So we created this common definition in our workshop. Racism refers to the structures of power and privilege that hinder social equity based on the concept of race. So when we got to our data points, 77% of the folks agreed that the workshop helped them to really see this connection between racism and infant mortality, and 96% of them reported that this windshield tool, where you go through the community and you look at the differences in resources in higher SES communities and lower SES communities, you know, there were people who had never looked at that and said, I didn't know. So when we did the evaluation, we looked at what people talked about personally and what they wanted for their organization. And here people talked about how they recognized they needed to change their thought patterns, need to become more aware and alert to what's going on. Even things down to, like, I'm going to confront somebody now who tells racially insulting jokes, and we're going to begin a specific dialogue. Let me move to the recommendations for what FHEC wants to do in the future. One of the things that we realize is that we've got to deal with this notion, many of you know Tim Wise, on white privilege. We want to take a look at this notion of Hispanics, Latinos as both victims and perpetrators of racism. That's a big deal in the state of Florida. Policy advocacy, effective leadership, successful communication tools, and research and activism. And these are some of the steps that we've already begun to do to bring in Tim Wise and other folks to really help us look at this notion of white privilege. We'll be sending some folks to the White Privilege Conference next year, and we'll continue to have book and film discussions. We are going to work with the local chapters of the National Council of La Raza. We've already begun that discussion to really have what we call some black and brown discussions, and we're trying to get some more resources to have a more undoing racism workshop. So, thank you very much.